Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in here today, and a happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. I hope you're having a wonderful day already and that the Lord has richly blessed you on this wonderful day. I want to give a good shout out to my own mother and say thank God for you and for your faithfulness to the Lord. Much appreciated, very much blessed, and I praise the Lord for you and for your prayers. All of you mothers out there I know that are faithfully serving the Lord, praise the Lord for you and stay faithful, stay focused on the Lord Jesus, and I'm so grateful for you. All right, well, we're going to jump into the message this morning, and I hope that you're ready there, got your Bibles open, and again, always as we do, let's start with a word of prayer, shall we? Dear Lord, we do thank you for today. What a wonderful privilege it is to, Lord, have a godly mother. Thank you for that. Thank you for all the mothers out there that are faithful to you and staying faithful to you. We do pray for them. We do pray for, Lord, as we're going to look at in a minute, the influence of a godly mother. Lord, we pray that your hand be upon each one. And Lord, we pray for your help today. Help me, Lord, as I preach. I pray you'd fill me with your spirit. Guide me, please. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for all that's said and done today. In thy precious name we do pray, Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Let's take our Bibles there today, if you will, Exodus chapter number 2, Exodus 2, and we're going to look at a very famous portion, I should say, or very well-known portion of Scripture having to do with Moses and his mother, Moses and his mother. And I've entitled the message today, The Ministry of a Mother, The Ministry of a Mother. We are so thankful to have a godly mother. I know many of you are as well, and just thinking through all of the mothers throughout, especially the Bible, that stood strong and stood firm for the faith and for Jesus Christ and for the Lord. And so we're going to see here, notice Exodus in chapter number 2, it says, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid him in the flags by the river's bank. And a sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, for she said, because I drew him out of the water. What a wonderful story there we see, but I want to concentrate this morning on that mother, Moses' mother, Jochebed. What a wonderful woman that she saw the goodly child. She saw what was there, and she refused the way of the world, and she chose rather to trust God with that precious baby boy. The ministry of a mother. Oh, do you have that today? I hope you do. I'm reminded of a story, little Peter. He was told to go to bed. The mother said, go to sleep. It's time to go to bed. He said, well, okay, I'm not very tired, but I guess I'll go to bed because you told me to. And he went to bed. About 5 minutes later, he comes into her mama's room and says, mama, I'm thirsty. I need a drink of water. And sure enough, she knew he was just trying to get out of going to bed. She said, no, you need to go to bed right now. He said, okay, mama, goes back to his room. About 10 minutes later, he comes back in and says, mama, I really need a drink of water. She says, no, I said, go to bed. He went to bed, went back to his room. He came back another time, about 5 minutes later, said, mama, I need a drink of water. She said, I'll tell you what, you better get to bed right now before I come in there and I'll give you something to cry about. I'll whoop your hide, you know. He said, well, mama, when you do come in to spank me, can you bring me a cup of water? Isn't that like a little boy? And the ministry of a mother. Only you know what you go through. And so as you think about today, I hope it will be a blessing to you as we think about. Number one, let me say this here. We see here in our portion of Scripture the protection of a mother. The protection of a mother. Again, thank God for you mothers out there that protect your children. Now, obviously, you're going to protect your children, but I'm speaking more, you know, as on a spiritual level. You're protecting them, number one, or letter A under this, from the dangers of the world. This mother, Moses' mother, she took him and she saw, it says, the Bible says that he was a goodly child. She knew that. I could not imagine, I know you can't either hardly, the situation that they're in, that they're taking these children, especially the boys, you know, and they're literally murdering these babies. And the horrific, the nightmare, the reality, I should say, that they're living in. Oh, so horrific. And you mothers out there cannot, I know, cannot even fathom some of this. I'm reminded many, many decades later that, you know, was Bethlehem there, heard the cries and the screams of those mothers as those babies were murdered. And knowing many occasions throughout history, these things had taken place, and she saw that baby and said, I want to take this child, protect it. Now, she was given a law. She was given a rule. If you have a child, you will turn it over, basically, to the authorities. And you know the story and the situation that those maidens there, they came in and they refused the king's command, Pharaoh's command. They refused to murder those children. They refused to turn them into the authorities. But she saw in that baby, she saw that and said, I'm going to trust God instead of trusting, if you will, the world. Now, we ought to protect our children from the world. You know that, from the dangers of the world. Moses' mother, again, protected him, hid him from the evil influences that threatened his life. As you and I see our children grow, we ought to protect our children from that which threatens them, literally, the evil of this world. So many mothers and parents especially, they allow their children to do whatever and whenever and all of that and be involved with the world. And thank God for you mothers and you fathers, you parents, that don't allow that into the home and don't allow them to be literally threatened by the world. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 3 in particular, he says, For I was my father's son, but then he says this, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. That's something that only a mother knows, right? You can have, I've seen it before, but the orneriest kid, right? And the mother still thinks the world of him or of her. That's a mother. But Solomon said, I was tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. That's a godly mother, a godly mother. So she protected Moses from the dangers of the world. Can I encourage you with that today? Protect your children from the dangers of this world and watch over them, encourage them, bring them up. Fathers especially, let me say just briefly, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as we're commanded, helping them along. Let me say number two though, we're to protect them also from the design of Satan. You know, Satan has a design today for your child's life, for your child's life. Satan wants to destroy both body, soul, and spirit of your child. Now, obviously, we know he wants to ravage and destroy the body of our child. He wants to make them defile what is termed the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within this body. He wants to destroy that. He wants to destroy their soul. He wants to destroy their intellect, emotion, and will within him. Cause them to be depressed and disoriented really in this world, not knowing what to do, where to go, have no joy, have no happiness in their life. That's what Satan wants to do. That's his design for their lives. He wants to destroy their spirit as well, their spirit. If he can keep them, number one goal of Satan today for our children is keep them from accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, praise God for you mothers and you fathers that have stood true and attempted and repeatedly tried to encourage your children, especially if they're young, to understand and acknowledge their need for a Savior. And you have older children, don't quit. Don't quit asking them about salvation or encouraging them about salvation if they're not saved. Now again, his design is to destroy our children. 1 John 2:15, you know it, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world, right? And so understanding this, that he clearly has a design for our children. Let me say here quickly, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, it says, For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns us. He owns us. If you're saved today, you know this, you're bought with a price. We ought to relay that to our children and remind them, your body is bought with a price. Your soul, your spirit is bought with a price. God wants to use you. Although Satan has a design to destroy, we can protect. And notice that protection of a mother. She took Moses and said, I want to protect my son. I want to care for him. Although I know I'm not going to be able to raise him. I know although I'm not going to be able to keep him in our home, I want to do what I believe God wants me to do. Protect. Are you protecting? Can I say a few things about protecting our children? How to protect your children. Number one, can I say this? You need to set some boundaries in their lives. Boundaries. We have to have boundaries set. We've got to put a line in the sand and say, don't cross this. If you cross it, there are consequences. Why? We're preparing them for life, aren't we? We're preparing them ultimately for that adulthood. And ultimately coming back to their relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has boundaries for his children. He does. And why does he do that? To protect us, because he loves us. Because he loves us. I don't know about you, but as I grew up, I had several friends, actually many friends, that their parents let them do whatever they wanted to do. They could go out wherever they wanted to. They could date whoever they wanted to. They could stay out as late as they wanted to. They even used foul language around their parents. They didn't care. They could watch whatever they wanted to. And I always envied them. I said, man, how come they get to? You know what I realized, though? They grew up and became some of the most empty, depressed people, broken marriages, broken homes. They just weren't happy. And ultimately knowing that they need the gospel of salvation in their lives. But I thought about that. Why did my parents set the boundaries? They loved me. Why does God set boundaries in our life? He loves us. He says, you stay within this right here for your own good, for your own protection. Set some boundaries. Set some boundaries. Number two, can I say give warning? We need to give warning. I like this quote here. It says, strictness does not ruin the child. Harshness ruins the child. We confuse the two often. Oh, I'm too strict. Well, actually, you're being harsh, not strict, or vice versa. So understanding that, give warning to our children. And ultimately, as I'm coming back to this again, give them warning of what it will happen without Christ. What will happen to their lives? Give them eternal warning, what the Bible clearly says about salvation. Now, we got to give them warning. You know all of that. Let me say thirdly, we need to set an example. Set an example. I love the book of 2 Timothy in particular. And he says there in 2 Timothy 1:5, listen to what Paul says. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul says, I've seen your grandmother and I've seen your mother, and I am persuaded, Timothy, that is rubbed off on you too. That is rubbed off. That's in your life too. Unfeigned faith. The word feigned means fake. It means a fraud. It's not real. It's a veneer. Feigned means fake. Unfeigned obviously says, I see the realness of your faith, the authenticity that was first in thy grandmother. You'll never know sometimes, I think, what an impact you'll have on those grandkids, on those kids, by just remaining faithful to Christ. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. We need more faithful mothers that stand true, stay faithful. They set an example. Set an example. Our kids are watching us, aren't they? Constantly. I said this a while back, but I was watching a basketball game one day on the television, and my team were terrible, and they messed up. And I banged on the table and said, oh, come on, you shouldn't have taken that shot, you know. And I looked down, and my little 3-year-old is banging on the table, and she's going like this, you know, shouldn't have done that. And you think about it, they see what we do, don't they? They set an example and think through that. Now, let me say again, be wise to that which is good. He says in Romans 16:19, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Simple concerning evil. So again, we got to teach our children. It's okay if they don't know certain things, right? Simple concerning evil. They don't need to know all of that. They'll find most of this stuff out eventually, right? But again, he says, be wise unto good, simple concerning evil. And let me say also, teach them the Word of God. This is clear and you know that. But Deuteronomy 6, he says, teach them the Word. Teach them the Word of God. Oh, how often we neglect to teach our children the Word of God. How often we let them read books and material and do their schooling and all of that and never teach them the Word of God. teach them. He says, Deuteronomy 6:7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Teach your children the word of God. Teach them. Share with them what God is doing in your lives. Just recently, my wife and I have been particularly praying about two major prayers, requests in our lives, in our family. It's been over the past about 10 months. We've been praying and praying and praying, and we've prayed with our children about it. And just recently, praise God, He's answered both of those prayers. He's provided for us both of those prayers in a very miraculous way. And we sat down with our girls and we said that, did you see how God answered that prayer? Did you see how the Lord listened to us and He was faithful? And you know, they nodded their heads. But do you know what? They remember that stuff when they get older. We teach them the word and the way of God, the way of God. Proverbs 1:8, He says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, the law of thy mother. So we see the protection of a mother. Let me say secondly here, though, we also see the providence of God, the providence of God. Now, obviously, God is in control in this situation. He always has been and He always will be. God is ruling. Where He does not rule, God overrules. That's a principle of life. He's in control. Now, the providence of God here, first of all, was to protect. Now, Hebrews 11, in fact, let's go over there. Hebrews 11, I want to spend a few moments here in Hebrews 11 because it talks about the great faith of Moses, and we see here the protection of God by way of His providence. In Hebrews 11, notice verse 23, you know this is the great hall of fame of faith, if you will. Verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid. Now, parents must learn to depend upon the Lord. No matter how much we plan and protect, God is sovereign. No matter how much we plan and protect, God is still sovereign. And you know that. We follow God's plan and God's will. He's in control. But the providence of God is to protect us, to watch over us. You heard the definition of a grandmother. A grandmother is someone who visits your house and keeps your mom from spanking you. I like that. Keeps your mom from spanking you. The protection, we need that. The providence. But not only to protect us, you know, number two I have here, to direct us. Direct us. The Lord used Jochebed to fulfill His will for Moses. Now let me say, allow God to use you to fulfill His will in your child's life. We should never be a hindrance to the will of God in our child's lives. We know that. But so often, if we're not careful, we inadvertently can do that. We can hamper them and really hurt them in a way from following through in God's will. Some of you may have older children getting ready maybe even to leave the house, and they may come to you and ask you of something and feel like God's directing them a certain way. And if we're not careful, we can maybe stop them from that. You ought to be sensitive, obviously, to the Holy Spirit, waiting on the Holy Spirit, asking God, what do you want for my child? What do you want for my child? As I pray, and I know you do as well, I try and pray each day, not only for the salvation of my children, my younger ones especially, but I pray secondly for the perfect will of God in their lives. Perfect will by way of friends, by way of future job, by way of location geographically, by way of future children and spouse, especially all of that. Lord, I want your perfect will for each one of them. And as we think about this, His plan for us, for your children, God's plan is to protect them and to direct them. I love the book of Jeremiah, but you know what He says in chapter 1 of Jeremiah. What's He say? Before I formed thee in the belly, before you even conceived, what does He say? I knew you. And then He says this, and I ordained you a prophet. God already has a plan for your child. Now, if your child will follow through and follow the plan of God for His perfect will, God will fulfill that. But how should we as a parent, especially mothers today, be helping, nurturing, and guiding our children in that perfect will? Guidance, the providence of God, the protection of a mother. Let me say thirdly, then there's the persistence of the mother. Persistence. Persistence. Boy, I like Moses' mother. She was not one to throw in the towel. She didn't give in and quit. She stayed faithful to God and was willing, risked her own life to protect her child, to protect her child. The persistence of a mother to, number one, trust God rather than the world. The world pushes at us constantly, don't they? All the time. Pushing back. And we ought to be saying, no, I'd rather trust God than the world. I know the world says we ought to be doing this, but I trust God. I know the world says we ought to be helping our kids in this area and emphasize this over that. No, we're going to trust the Lord. To refuse, number two, the way of the world and go the way of God. The way of the world instead of the way of God. So often we confuse the two. Are you going the way of God? The way of God today. And it'll be uncomfortable. Your kids will not like it all the time. They'll feel like maybe an outcast from this world. And that's a good thing. The Bible warns us of that. So going the way of the world. Thirdly, let me say, to nurture her children during the most vital age of development, or vital time of development. She nurtured him. She nurtured, said, I want to care. Most vulnerable time in Moses' life right there. Innocent little baby. She took the advantage. She took and nurtured that child, nurtured that boy, that mother, a godly mother, persistent mother. If you're still in Hebrews there 11, notice if you will, verse 24 says, by faith Moses, then when he was come 2 years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy, notice this, the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. This young man, he was trained. He knew the type of mother he had as a child, how it affected his adult life, how it changed his life. Ah, the persistence of a mother. We need that today. Out of this, notice what there's three particular convictions that came about in Moses' life because of a persistent mother, because of a protective mother. Three convictions. Notice, number one, to identify with God's people. He says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. He identified with God's people. You know, the Bible, especially the New Testament, Paul repeatedly says, be not ashamed. Be not ashamed. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Don't be ashamed, he says. We ought to stand strong and identify with God's people. So often our children may grow up and they'll disown God's people. They're embarrassed of God's people. They want nothing to do with the church. Oh, how we need to be training our children. Thank God for you mothers that are persistent. It developed a conviction in Moses' life to identify with God's people rather than sin. Rather than sin. Too many young people today are involved with sin. Pleasures of sin. Notice it says, for a season. It always comes to an end. The second conviction, notice, is to separate from sin. To separate. He chose God's way over pleasure. You know, Paul says it again. They're lovers of pleasures, plural, more than lovers of God. Not that they don't love God, but when it comes down to it, they love pleasure just a little bit more than they do God, and they'll go the way of pleasure. We need young people that grow up with convictions that say, I'd rather separate from sin than be involved with that pleasure that's just for a season, which ends up ruining, in many cases, their lives, ruining. To identify with God's people, to separate from sin. And thirdly, this third conviction he developed was to wait on God's reward. God's reward. Notice it says there, esteeming, verse 26, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now you have to understand who Moses was. The Bible says a little bit later in the book of Exodus that all of Egypt respected Moses. He was a powerful man. You know, he grew up in Pharaoh's court. He was a part, literally, of Pharaoh's family. He could have anything he wanted, anything, any girl, any materialistic thing he wanted. And he had all power. And Moses thought about that and he said, I would rather be with God's people. I'd rather wait on God's reward than this life. As we said a while back, people that live this life to the fullest without Christ, they have their reward here. It's already done. We are not waiting and serving and living every day for a reward here on earth. What are we doing? We're waiting for an eternal reward in the heavens, those rewards to come. And our children ought to grow up with that conviction. I'm waiting for the reward, not here, but that eternal reward waiting for me. All these convictions developed, number one, because of a godly mother. Persistent, protective, and I see here. I like this. John Wesley, He once wrote in one of his memoirs, and he said, "I learned more about God from my mother than from all the theologians in England. I learned more about God from my mother than all the theologians in England." John Wesley, mighty man of God, mighty man, had a godly mother protecting him. Notice 3 John 4. He says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." No greater joy. I pray that's a prayer for you today, as a mother, as a father, that you're seeking no greater joy that I hear my son and my daughter. They're adults. They make their own choices now, and they're choosing truth. They're choosing to walk in truth and with Christ rather than live for themselves. Proverbs 31:28, it says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." I pray that could be said about you today. Thank God for you godly mothers out there that have stood true, that keep going on, keep praying every morning for your children, for your family. We need more of you in this world. We need more of you. And keep going. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep trusting the Lord. As God said, listen, "I will exalt you, you that trust in me. Lean not into your own understanding, but what? Trust in me." Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do you have that today? What a wonderful example we have here in the Scriptures. It developed in Moses convictions that later he would become probably the greatest prophet, the greatest man of God, I dare to say, that's ever walked the face of this earth. Led the people of God. God came to Moses on the backside of the desert, you know, several years after this, and said to him, "Moses, I want to use you. I want to use you." And it directly went back. I guarantee you, Moses' mind went in that moment all the way back to his mother, her convictions, her love for the Lord. Amen. Well, God bless you today. I hope you enjoy your time with your family today. Thank God for you mothers. Keep up the good work. We're praying for you. If you need anything, please feel free to contact us at the church, at our email, at my phone number personally, all of that. Please do. We love you. We're praying for you. I hope you have a blessed day. All right. Well, God bless my friends. And again, a reminder, we're not having an evening service tonight. I guess I could say I won't have a service online here tonight, this evening for you. So enjoy time with your family. I hope you have a good day, and we'll see you hopefully on Wednesday evening. All right, let's end with a word of prayer. We'll be done today. Father, we thank you so much as we've been able to explore and look through the Bible to see one example of a godly woman that stood for you in the face of a wicked, evil world. And Lord, because of that, she developed in a young man convictions that stood with him all the way to adulthood, and that would lead him, Lord, to ultimately lead your people and become a great, mighty man of God. How we need more strong mothers like that today, spiritual mothers. Lord, I pray you'd bless them. Thank you, God, for those there. I pray for your help today. Guide us and bless us, please. In thy precious name, Lord, we do pray. Jesus' name. And amen.